You're listening to the Right Turn Radio podcast.
So, John, tell us about who's on tonight.
Tonight we have Nikki Sixx, who's the bassist of your favorite band, Motley Crue.
How'd you know?
And he's the author of The Heroin Diaries, which was a huge hit for him, kind of detailing his life as a musician and as an addict and his recovery. And now he's got a new book out in paperback. It's kind of a photo book and kind of talking about
his
art. Yeah, it's really good. It's called This Is Gonna Hurt. And he puts out records every time he releases a book. And the records have to do with the with the book as well. And his band's called 6 AM with two X's. So we're going to be talking with him about his recovery and about being a rock and roll musician in recovery. We talked to Nikki Sixx when they were on the road. Motley Crue was on the road. And he gave us some time and talked about his life in rock and roll and his creative life. And we're going to listen to that interview now. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Nikki, where are you right now?
I don't know. Hold on, let me look at my calendar. I am in, because we travel for 21 hours, so I'm sort of like a little bit disembobulated. We are in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada.
Nice. How long have you been in recovery?
Me? 13 years.
How is it touring now that you're in recovery? How do you maintain your sobriety out on the road like that when you've been traveling for 21 hours?
God, I don't know. You know, to me, getting loaded is not even an option. There's so many benefits and so much beauty in sobriety for me. And my life is just such a better life. And I love being aware and being awake and being into it. Whether it's a hard time, I'm going through something hard, or whether it's something to celebrate, I don't want to be numb. And so for me, it's not even an option. I recently did some photography in Vancouver and Victoria and different parts of Canada, kind of documenting addiction as a photographer across Canada. And there was a blog that Leica Cameras just released on my photography on their Facebook page. And there was a girl that was shooting up, and she was talking to me while she was shooting up and talking to me about her addiction. And somebody asked me, they said, well, how do you look at that and not want to, you know, get high? And I said, man, it keeps me sober.
Is that, some of those photographs in your book from Vancouver were pretty powerful. Can you tell us how you got involved in photography?
I've been doing photography for over 20 years. I got a studio about 8 years ago and just really pushed myself. I do a lot of street photography because I travel so much. And I also do studio photography, and that gives me an opportunity to flush out ideas that I have in my head. And This Is Gonna Hurt, my book, which does focus a lot on my photography, has both in it, but has a lot of my studio photography, which is at times, I think, a little bit influenced by Diane Arbus and Joel Peter Witkin, and the fact that they're sort of capturing the moment of people that society might not deem beautiful.
Right.
And for me, it was important to meet these people, seek them out, meet them, get to know them, photograph them, expose their stories. And it kind of coincided a little bit with the whole bullying concept. And when we were doing the book tour, there would be 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 kids at the book signings, and a lot of them mentioned that. You know, they felt different their whole life. This book gives them peace, lets them know it's okay to be different. We had the number one hit with 6 a.m., Lies of the Beautiful People. So it's a very interesting project.
It seems to me you've always been visually oriented. And when you guys formed Crue, there was this kind of manifesto of, like, this is our image. As I understand it, you were largely in charge of, like, the visual performance or the visual presentation of Crue. Is that true?
I mean, everyone in the band has sort of a job that they do.
Right.
You know, and I wouldn't really, I guess job's the wrong word, but some people are better at other things than others. And when we get together as a band, that's really our strong suit. a lot of the visual stuff, yeah, a lot of stuff came out of my head, but then it really expanded by talking to the band, jamming with the band, and them saying, well, what if we did this? I'm like, I never thought of that, you know, and that's how we work as a band. Thing is, for me, every day, even when I'm getting ready to go on stage, it's just it's a creative endeavor, to be honest with you. Performing is a creative endeavor. Songwriting is, photography, you know, whether I'm doing Motley Crue or 6 a.m., working on a Broadway play right now with wonderful writers and producers and directors, and watching that whole thing unfold is very creative. So for me, it's all about creativity. Sometimes it comes off as shock and awe, and other times it comes off as simple and just storytelling, you know, and even lyrics. It's the same thing.
Right. Now, when Crue started out, there was this image that you guys put out there, and I'm sure a lot of it was based in reality of, like, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll. Was there a point in the career where that image caught up with you and that you felt, you know, it kind of bit you from behind? Was there a point that you can remember where you're like, oh, it's no longer the image we're trying to project. This is actually us.
The thing with Motley Crue is, you know, if you really know the band and you study the band, even on just the surface, you'll see that we were always kind of evolving. And it wasn't a thing where we said, now on the next album, we're going to be this.
Right.
And then on the fourth album, we're going to be this. And now we're going to get squeaky clean and get off the drugs because it's going to make us more mainstream. It was stuff that was happening in our life. When we started out, we were, you know, we came out of heavy metal and punk rock. That's what was happening in the late 70s. And when we launched in 81, those were the things we cut our teeth on. And we were listening to the Cheap Trick and the Sex Pistols back to back. You know, that's the stuff that influenced us. And it was Judas Priest and T-Rex. So it was glam, punk, heavy metal. And as that first album, Too Fast for Love, really, really you can feel that. And by the time we got to Shout at the Devil, we had bigger ideas, more theatrical ideas. How do we top ourselves? More shocking. We started getting more into metal and less into punk. And then as we sort of exhausted ourselves there, we were at a place where we were like, what's next for us? And it just organically happened that we wrote Home Sweet Home. I remember the record company telling us we were out of our minds. We can't put that song on an album because we're only about this. And we said, but that's not where we're 100% at anymore. And so we've always just sort of evolved organically.
Well, you know, this is our show is about recovery and creativity and addiction and recovery and all that. So I want to know, like, how, you know, creativity seemed to be at a certain point in your career, you know, judging by the books you've written, that creativity was really tied in with your identity as a musician and as an addict. And then you get clean and there's this whole world that kind of opens up. Was that difficult for you to approach your music as a sober man?
For me, when I'm using, I can only see a very, like, just not very far in the future, not very far behind me and not very far to the left or the right. I'm sort of in this little weird bubble. When I'm clean and I'm clear, I can see a lot bigger picture of life and I'm more open to things and I capture things, whether it's with a camera or just walking by somebody and I hear them say something and it ends up turning into a lyric. I was with James Michael, lead singer from 6 a.m., and I think we were in Baltimore. We were working on some songs. He was out on the road with me for 6 a.m., and had this amazing piece of music. And we just couldn't come up with a song title. And as we were walking down the street, I kept hearing people saying, oh, my God. I walked by some girls, and they were like, oh, my God. And then somebody saw something. It was shocking to them. They went, oh, my God. And I looked at James, and I said, oh, my God. And he goes, we have to go back to the hotel right now. And we went back, and we finished the song, Oh, My God, This Is Gonna Hurt album. But that's what sobriety does for you right there. If you were loaded, that would have never happened.
Nikki, thanks so much for doing this. Could you tell me about the parody bill and your involvement in it?
When we were hurt, we had heard about the parity bill, and we contacted some people in legislation and said, listen, this is, you know, what Nikki's about, and here's a book that he's working with. Would you be interested in meeting with him? So we met with some people, and they told me more about it, and I flew to Washington, D.C., and we met, and they asked me if I would get up and speak about sobriety and about how recovery can actually economically affect not only one household but a whole community, and, you know, it's actually can affect state and nation. And, you know, I explained that by saying, you know, I know that if I am using and I get a divorce and my family loses the house and we get the cars repossessed, and that financial strain that just that puts on one family and on a community, if that's happening by hundreds of thousands of people because of addiction, if there's a way to implement that from maybe not stopping, but putting a barrier up. So maybe somebody goes, look, you get a chance before we just fire you from your job. You get a chance to get into recovery. And not only is that humane, but it's financially wise to the United States of America. And that was my speech. And I was really excited to be there. I was really proud. And to be honest with you, I was really nervous standing in front of a bunch of congressmen and congresswomen and press talking, because it's really was like out of my comfort zone.
Right. Well, that's great. Thank you for that work. And thanks again, Nikki.
And you know what? Best thing about being sober?
What's that?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you
man.
You have a lot of fun in life.
There you go. Love it. Thanks, Nikki.
Bye.
So that was Nikki Six.
Hey, that is not what I expected.
Yeah.
That's great. So there's one thing. He talked about the parity bill, and we should probably explain
what that is.
The parity bill was the idea that substance abuse has been always treated like a poor stepchild. And so if you got, you know, you'd have insurance and you'd say, oh, I'm allowed to have therapy if I have a mental health problem. But if you have a substance abuse problem, which don't tell anybody, but is also a mental health problem, you have different, like they'll say, oh, we'll only pay for 5 sessions or 3 days in a rehab or whatever. And so this is a bill they put out to make sure that it was even, so that you couldn't, that, you know, mental health, substance abuse and physical health are all kind of the same thing and they should be treated the same.
You're singing my song.
Yeah, well, I love that he got nervous in front of Congress.
I know.
Mean, you know, here's a guy who can play, like, in front of zillions of people, and, you know, he's in front of congressional people. He's like, ah!
I thought what was interesting is just, you know, creativity and him kind of rediscovering his creativity, and the proof is in the pudding, because this guy's put out 2 really great-selling books, and he's, you know, explored photography. It's become a big part of his life, and he's doing his own band, and he's, you know, he's out there, and he's doing it. It's not the end of his career. It's kind of like I said, the second act.
Well, I really like the whole comment about, you know, when he was using, he couldn't see, he could only see just a little bit in front of him and nothing on any side. And it just gets you so self-centered and so, I don't want to say myopic, but you can only see little things. And you know, the most important thing becomes getting drugs, and all of a sudden he's wandering around the streets and, like, noticing things, and it becomes part of his art, and it's just, that's amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Right Turn Radio podcast. Please check us out on Facebook and at www.right-turn.org.